You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Stand up for justice, stand up for what is right. If we'll stand together, we can win this fight. Stand up for the heroes, the patriots that died. Let us stand together to keep this land alive. Stand up for America. Stand up for the red, white, and blue. Stand up for America.
It's a new day with Rhett Palmer. How you doing? Jimmy J is in town, and he brought a couple of friends with him, and they're wearing their shirts to say Wounded Waters as opposed to Wounded Warriors. So what is this all about, Wounded Waters? Jimmy, introduce your friends.
Very well. Jim Genter. This is Kevin.
Hi. Hi, Kevin.
How's it going?
And my friend Chuck.
Kevin and Chuck.
Started this. Wounded Waters. I'd love him to tell you how it first started. And Mr. Palmer, you are doing God's work today.
All right. So Chuck, tell us what's your last name, Chuck?
Gerald.
Hey, Chuck. Gerald, where are you from originally?
I'm a Georgia boy. I lived in Atlanta for 52 years. My in-laws are here, so I've been coming here for 30 years.
Varsity hot dogs, do you
miss
them?
Yes, sir.
Man,
I do. They were. You have to build up a tolerance for
it. Elvis liked them so much that he had an apartment across the street. That's what I was told. Is that the truth to that?
I don't know.
And so tell us about Wounded Waters.
Kevin Klepak came to our community several years ago. He's an old homeboy, so to speak.
That's the fellow sitting next to
me? Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. He retired out as First Sergeant Rangers and came in. We met him at Downtown Vero Friday and started telling us about his organization. And I'm with Next Gen, and we run the PTSD group, and we said, this is a great partnership potential here. And talked, and we've set up programs. We all work together. He takes our veterans out, and it's really, really good stuff to get these men and women. We have female veterans as well. Takes these men and women out, and just to have the chance to get away, the camaraderie, to be on a boat where you're isolated with just your people, so to speak. It's amazing to see the change in the vets when they walk off that boat.
Now, are you yourself a veteran?
Yes.
Okay, Jimmy J, you're a veteran. And, of course, I want to welcome Kevin to the show. How you doing, Kevin?
How's it going?
Now, what's PTSD, post-traumatic
stress
disorder? Yep. Okay. So, first of all, thank you all for serving. And I feel like the little brother, even if I may be older than some of you, I don't know. But because I didn't serve. But I have sang in military installations like West Point and Plattsburgh and then Key West, you know, the naval base, stuff like that. And so, and Schwarzkopf sent me a letter saying he said though many songs are written during Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, mine were his favorite. The reason I bring that up is not to boast, but to show that at least I put my hand in there trying to do something. The letter's in the back room if you want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
The original signed. Anyway, so it just brings me up a wee little bit here, so I don't have these profounding feelings of inferiority that drown me, you know. In all sincerity, I'm the shoeshine kid from Poughkeepsie, New York, and I admire you guys. Anybody puts their life on the line. Post-traumatic syndrome, of course. We just know we lost I met Wynonna Judd a few years ago, but her mother, Naomi, just committed suicide with a gun, and this is post-traumatic. I guess I don't understand why they're saying that's post-traumatic syndrome. The fame, the fortune, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, you know? But, Kevin, you started this whole thing?
Yep. Started it up about 5 years ago. Do you want me to go through the whole story? So, started up about 5 years ago. I've been stationed all over the place, everywhere from regular battalion to a lot of other units and stuff like that. And after one of our deployments, we came back. I started taking soldiers out to get them out of the barracks, take them out fishing, hiking, just get them outdoors just to relax, just to get them away from, hey, work, stop worrying about the world and stuff like that. After one of the fishing trips, one of the soldiers came up to me and said, thank you. I didn't think nothing of it. I just kept throwing stuff in a truck. I mean, it's just no big deal. And then he actually stopped me and he said, no, really, thank you. And it was just kind of weird to me. So I looked at him. I was like, well, what's going on? He's like, well, I was going to go home and kill myself tonight.
Last night.
Yeah. And so after the kid sat there and told me that he was going to go home and commit suicide, I sat down and talked with him, and he said, hey, no, being out here has actually really helped me a lot. He's like, it let me just kind of relax and not worry about the world and everything that's going on with it. So went home, talked to my wife. My wife, of course, she said, hey, just if you're helping him out, keep doing it. And so me being from here in Vero, I was born and raised here, my wife was like, well, take more people fishing. Well, if my wife's telling me to take people fishing, then I'm going to keep doing it. So started taking more guys out and doing it, and everyone said, hey, this is awesome, keep going. And eventually we formed a nonprofit, and here we are today. 2 years ago, we took out between 97 vets and first responders. Last year, we were at 111. And so we're continuing to keep growing and growing and growing. We do everything from fishing trips to diving trips to snorkeling trips to just river cruises. We do anything we can to just provide them that we call saltwater therapy. And it's not all about the actual whatever we're doing. It doesn't matter if we go out fishing, if we even catch any fish. It's all literally about just hanging out together and reestablishing that bond and that brotherhood that everyone had when we were in the military, or if they were in the firehouse or the police department or whatever it may be. And you kind of lose a sense of yourself once you kind of walk away from that. And it affected me really bad. I had a lot of depression throughout the years, and I was in that spot where I was in really dark places years ago, and an actual fishing trip helped me out. And so that's why I just figured, hey, this is something I can do to actually help give back. So, and it's helped a lot of people. So, and I love it, and we're going to keep after it.
Being in the military, I guess it's like being in what are those groups they have at the college? Fraternity.
ROTC and stuff.
We have the Navy SEALs come in here with frequency from down in Fort Pierce, and same with you guys. I mean, this is you get kind of. I would think it would be addicting to have your brethren looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're willing to lay down your life for the guy next to you, and he you. And you go through tragedy and trauma. I mean, imagine people do a little high school play, or they go to college and do a little play, and they never forget the people they connect with after rehearsing that for 2 months and then parting company. Can you imagine working with somebody and with live ammo going over your head?
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine what that's like. And then to see death and carnage on the side, I can understand why a lot of people can't make it. And most importantly is they lose that safety net of their guys.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, even if you feel a little weak, in numbers, we are strong collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's got to be traumatizing unto itself, you know. And you did a double dose here, Jimmy J, because he was a cop in New York City, right?
Yeah.
Was it Brooklyn? Was it New York City?
City of White Plains.
Oh, City of White Plains.
Yeah, believe it or not, after Vietnam, you couldn't get on the police in New York City. They were laying them off.
Oh.
Sanitation, everything.
How did you get in?
8 of us from the Bronx went to White Plains.
Oh, okay.
It was only like 20 minutes away.
No, that's not bad.
No.
But you have a connection with that, too.
Yeah.
That becomes a brotherhood and a sisterhood, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Let's just say brotherhood for the sake. We don't have to be politically correct and all that. So anyway, it's got to be very traumatizing. Now, Wounded Waters. See, now, when you first told me this, I thought you were saying Wounded Warriors. Now, now I understand there was a big controversy a few years ago about Wounded Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe what kind of a despot, or what's the right word I'm looking for, what kind of a creepy person would come in and use a name and usurp money that's given for Wounded Warriors, right? I don't know the details of it. I really don't need to know. But is that why you named it Wounded Waters as opposed to Wounded Warriors?
No, when we were trying to figure out names, this Wounded Warriors, everyone associates Wounded Warriors with the Wounded Warrior Project, with that affiliation. And it's just, and they've done really well, and they've kind of branded that name.
Did they clean up?
I don't know. I don't want to get into all their stuff. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I focus on our stuff, and that's good enough
for me. Wise.
Yeah. So, and I mean, the good thing with us, like, all of our money and donations that we get in, it all goes right back into the vets, 100%. It either goes into fuel, bait, ice, boat repairs, rods, tackle, stuff like that. Everyone in our organizations are all volunteers, and nobody gets any money from it at all. So, and that's how we're keeping it along. I mean, I'm putting in tons of my money just to keep it going. So, but
not that it's obligatory, but is it faith-based somehow?
No, nothing's
obligated.
No, we don't. I don't discriminate against any person, anything, or anything like that. Like,
no.
It doesn't matter if you're a vet or a first responder or a family member of somebody that has served or something like that. Hey, if you are having a rough time, or even if you're not having a rough time, you just want to get out and just hang out with some people, then that's what it's all about. It's all just about that reconnection.
Saltwater therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is that a new term, or did you come up with that yourself, or is...
I don't know where it actually came up with, but I've just been using it. So,
if it's not in a song, I'm definitely going to put it in one of my songs.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, I'm going to steal that.
But I mean, it's amazing when you get a just random group of people. A lot of the times, that people don't know each other and stuff like that, and you just kind of see throughout the day or whatever we're doing, whether we're fishing or just on a river cruise, you just kind of see everyone just kind of like everything just kind of washes away from them, and they relax. They're having a good time. They're smiling. We've seen people that have come to our some of our PTSD groups and stuff like that, where they've got a lot of issues and stuff like that. They don't want to talk, but you get them out on a boat and they relax. They're smiling. They're having a good time, and that's what it's all about. It's all about just helping somebody out, no matter how you may be affecting them, is what really helps.
Well, guys are different. I remember. I'm the kind of guy, you know, I'm still whining about the girl that broke my heart 40 years ago, you know? And you wouldn't want to be around me 30-something years ago. It's like, oh, God, bury the guy, you know? But my brother was the opposite, and I lost him on 911. It's a long story. He wasn't in New York City, but it was a collateral damage, let's put it that way. But he was the type, suddenly we had the appearance of a young lady 2 years later who said, she watched... what's that thing where you check out your bloodline, your DNA?
Yeah, ancestry.
Ancestry.
And she was his daughter. He had told me, he said, don't tell mom, but I think I have a daughter somewhere. When he was 17, fell in love with a little Jewish girl. We were not Jews. So the family who ran the Jewish Community Center for Poughkeepsie, New York, separated them and sent her to a school for unwed mothers and put their tail between the legs in embarrassment and moved to another town, I think Buffalo, New York or something. But anyway, he never hiding her hair, nothing. He never complained, never said his heart was broken until letters were revealed later on. He wanted to keep the relationship going. And he did end up marrying, lived on his watercraft. Talk about saltwater therapy. He spent he was a straight-A student, but then dropped out of college. Last time I would see him on Amelia Island, I said, well, what happened to you? Why would a guy with straight A's, handsome guy, had all the girls you could possibly want, and you're on your way to becoming a dental surgeon? He said, well, I was looking out the window one day in college. He said, I just knew I didn't want to spend my life inside, and he didn't. And that's saltwater therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And... there is something, if you notice, there's something about people that are stressed, because I've interviewed a lot of sea captains going on 18 cruises. I know that's not really tough riding.
Hi, folks. I'm sorry, but we have to interrupt this broadcast. We are out of time. To hear this interview in its entirety, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on WCNO.